Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. As we continue a little study about what the Bible teaches about godly music. This is not an exhaustive study by any means. You could preach for months on music, and you could deal with the passages that specifically talk about music. Then you could go a few more months and preach about Bible principles that apply to the area of music, and we will deal with one of those Bible principles, just one of them tonight. But some of the things that we've learned so far, number one, we learned that all music can be divided into two groups, music that pleases God and music that doesn't. That's true of everything in our life. God looks at things, and things are black and white. Things please Him or they don't. And that's why He says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. We're supposed to evaluate all things. And some things will be good, pleasing to the Lord, some things won't. Ephesians 5:10 says, if you look down in verse 10 there, it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So we're obliged to prove or evaluate things in our life. Why should we evaluate music? There's 100 other things we could evaluate. Well, because music is where there's a battlefield. And the Lord doesn't want a soldier who fights the battle every place except where the enemy's attacking. We need to fight the battle where the enemy's attacking. And so we are faithful on that battlefield of music. Music has power and it has prominence. It's everywhere. And that's why this is something that we need to consider for our lives. So music either pleases God or doesn't. And we've got to decide we're going to use the music that pleases God. Number two, last time we looked at this, all music carries a message. All music carries a message. Let's look at our verse tonight, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. And this is one of our 22 transforming truths. So let's say it out loud together. Ready? Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Boy, that is a life-changing verse because of the importance of being filled with the Spirit. But then it goes right into this idea of music, and it says that there is such a thing as spiritual songs. And we're supposed to speak to ourselves with these songs. So it shows that music itself speaks. Music itself is either spiritual or fleshly. It either is according to the Spirit or according to the flesh. And music itself carries a message. Don't let people tell you music is neutral. You can use any music you want as long as the words are good. No, that's not true. Music has a message. Even wicked worldly rock musicians, if you say, your music doesn't have a message, they'll probably punch you in the nose. They'll say, yes, it does. My music carries a message, even without the words, because I'm an artist, and my music has power. And it does. I think power for evil, but it does. And when Christians try to use that same music and put Christian words to it, I think we got big problems scripturally. We looked at David playing his harp for King Saul, and the music had such a message that the evil spirit had to flee. And then Joshua and Moses coming down from the mountain, Joshua thought it was the noise of war. Moses said, that's music, but it carries the message of big problems. And they could tell. Well, let's go to our third principle, and the one we want to deal with tonight. Godly music, the right kind of music, godly music is offered to the Lord. If you're filling in blanks on your note sheet, that's your blank, offered. Godly music is offered to the Lord. Let's look at verse 19 again. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. To the Lord. We've got to remember that our music is directed to the Lord. It's not just in this verse. Over and over again in Scripture, there's a parallel passage in Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And just like Ephesians 5 says, making melody in your heart to the Lord, Colossians 3:16 says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, the godly song, godly music is directed to the Lord. Psalm 33:3 says, sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Okay, sing unto Him a new song. Now, this is not saying that the text of the song has to be words directed to the Lord. Some of those songs that we sang tonight were. They were songs of Charles Gabriel here on his anniversary of his 82nd anniversary of his passing away. And some of his words were, of his songs were written like prayers to the Lord, directed to the Lord. Some of the words are testimony songs, like we sang, I need Jesus. I need Him every hour. Okay? That's not directed to the Lord. We would say, I need you, if it was directed to the Lord. But I need Jesus. So I'm not saying the words of the song itself have to be directed to the Lord. But the song itself is an act of worship offered to the Lord. It's an act of worship offered to the Lord. Why is that important for us to mention tonight? Well, we still believe that anything that's offered to the Lord has got to be a pure sacrifice. I call this the purity principle. If we're going to offer something to the Lord, it has got to be a pure sacrifice. Some of the musicians who use worldly music with Christian words will say, let's all offer this as a sacrifice of praise to the Lord. And they say, we are offering this song as praise to our God. Now my question is, will God accept that offering? Look with me at Malachi chapter 1. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, just before Matthew. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi was a prophet whom God gave a message, to whom God gave a message, and it was actually a stinging rebuke of God's people. He said, you people are not doing the right thing. And He rebukes them for a number of things as you read through the book of Malachi. But one of the things they were doing is they were offering their sheep and their lambs as sacrifices of praise to God. But they would take a sheep or a lamb that wasn't perfect. They'd say, you know, this sheep, he's got kind of a bad foot, and probably a wolf's going to get him anyway, and so it's time to offer to the Lord. I guess I'll just take this one. And they were offering sacrifices to God that weren't pure. And look down in chapter 1, verse 8. It says, and if he offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if he offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? He says, look, you're offering this to me, to the Lord, and you wouldn't even take this sheep if you needed a gift to give to one of the political leaders. You wouldn't take this and say, here's a gift for you, my sheep with a bum leg or my sheep that's blind. He said some of them offer the blind for sacrifice. Listen, God says, you don't offer that kind of sacrifice to me. If it's offered to me, it's got to be a pure sacrifice. It's got to honor me in every way. A lot of us have studied the Passover lamb, and you know how they would watch that lamb for 14 days. They'd bring it into their own house and make sure that there was nothing wrong with that lamb before they offered it to the Lord. And so it's important that anything that we offer as a sacrifice of praise to God has to be pure. It has to be pure. If we were to offer you a nice cool cup of water, but before we gave it to you, we would just sprinkle just a little bit of mud from the flower bed in the water. Just a little pinch. Just a little pinch of mud. Would you want to drink that water? You'd say, no thanks. You know, I think I'll pass. I'm not that thirsty. Well, first of all, the mud might not even hurt you that bad, but still, it's not pure. It's not pure. What if I just use just one drop of arsenic? You say, no thanks. All right, that thing can kill you, okay? And we understand that there is something to items that are pure. And when we offer sacrifice to praise to God, whether it's money or anything, it ought to be pure. Somebody said, you know what, I played the lottery because I hope I hit it big and I'm going to give half of it at least to the church. Well, you know what? Don't tell me it's from the lottery because I don't want it then. Okay, because I don't want dirty money. All right, I want pure money. All right, money, not money that's been gotten by ill gain. Okay, why? Because we're going to offer that money to the Lord, and anything that's offered to the Lord has to be pure. Now, let's apply this to music. What are the parts of a song? Anybody want to volunteer? Words. Okay. What else? Instruments, okay, the music, the words, the music. And if it has words, there's one more part I think of. How the song is sung. Okay, you got words, you got music, and you got what I call vocal style. Okay, the words, the music, and the vocal style. Now, sometimes I ask people, what are the three parts of music? And somebody will say, harmony, melody, and rhythm. And I'm like, wow, you are right. That's too deep for me, at least for tonight. Okay, we'll get a little deeper maybe later, but on another message. But just keep it simple here. Music, songs that we sing for the Lord have words, most of them. They have music, and they, if they have words, they also have a style in which they are sung. All right, let's consider When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. Okay, it's got music. It's got words. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. And whenever we offer that as praise to God, it also has a vocal style. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, twang, and time shall be no more. And you're going, stop, preacher, stop. Yeah, you know what? I don't think that's pleasing to God. You say, well, it's just country, it's just culture. Wait a minute. When did Christians start singing like that? It was actually when I was a teenager. They started to import worldly styles in music and put them with Christian words and Christian songs. And sometimes it's not country. Sometimes it's nightclub. Sometimes it's, you know, the nightclub sound, the breathy sound, the worldly sound. And it might be a perfectly good song, like When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, but they sing it in a worldly way. Hey, let's sing it in a pure way. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. Let's sing it in a pure way. Let's not scoop all over the place on the words so that we sound like some kind of worldly singer. Boy, you see this real obviously in different renditions of our national anthem. You know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, before the sports game, I listened to the national anthem. I got blessed. I heard somebody sing it, and the college band was playing it, and it was wonderful. And I was like, yes, I love America, you know, amen. And then I heard somebody get up there and sing it like they just got out of the bar and they were half drunk and couldn't find the right notes. And I'm like, oh, what a disgrace to our nation, you know, singing that way. And people say, well, it's only culture. Wait a minute. Some things are culture. I understand that. I don't mind if somebody sings with a southern accent. There's nothing wrong with that. They grew up in the south, they got a southern accent. They got a drawl. Okay, there's no problem with culture. But there's a difference between regional culture and worldliness. And when singers are trying to imitate the singers of this world, we got problems. You say, do Christian singers really try to imitate singers in the world? You can go in a Christian bookstore, and a lot of them will have a poster on the wall that says, if you like this secular group, then you'll like this Christian group, because they sound just like them, just different words. If you like this kind of worldly music, then you'll like this Christian group, because they sound just like them. And there's everything. There's hard rock, there's rap, there's country western, there's rhythm and blues. There's everything with Christian words. Folks, I'm saying tonight that that's not a pure offering. God says, you're going to offer that to me? I'm not pleased with that. And they can say, this is an offering of praise to God. This concert is dedicated to Him. But that doesn't mean He accepts their praise. Because He wants praise that is pure, that is holy, that is set apart for Him and for His glory. And we'll learn more about that when we do the fourth principle on music in our next hymn sing 1 month from today. And we'll kind of conclude this message. But I want you to think about this principle. It's offered to the Lord. That means if I'm going down the road in my car and I turn a song on and I'm singing along with that song, you remember, God hears that. God hears that. Is it pleasing to Him? Is it the kind of music that David would have played to cause the evil spirit to flee? Or is it the kind of music that is borrowed from this world? You say, well, I like that music. It doesn't matter what we like. I told you before, I like that kind of music too. My flesh likes it. That doesn't mean we listen to it. Just because we like it doesn't make it right. And we've got to say, Lord, I don't care what I like. I'm going to please You. Eventually, you'll develop a taste for godly music and you will like it. But we got to take that stand and say, Lord, my music's going to please You. I'll go through my record collection, if you got records still. I'll go through my cassette tapes, my 8-tracks, if you got those. I'll go through my CDs. I'll go through my MP3s. And Lord, if it's not pleasing to You, it's gone. Because Lord, I want to please You. I want to please You. I remember preaching on music to teenagers when I was a youth pastor and explaining to them some of the principles that we're talking about and just breaking it down. I actually spent more time with them than I am with you, breaking down the scriptural principles. And a couple different times during that series of lessons, people would come in with a bag, usually a brown paper bag, like a lunch bag or something, just filled up with cassette tapes. This was a while ago. And they turn that in and say, I got to get rid of these. And I'm afraid if I just stick them in a drawer, I'll get them out again. And when somebody brought one in, I said, you know, this is great. I've heard of other people doing this. I said, the rest of you, bring in stuff that's not pleasing to the Lord. We'll have a bonfire. You know, we'll burn it. We'll cook some marshmallows. We'll have a bonfire, you know. But we won't hold the marshmallows over those cassette tapes because the evilness that might come up might infect the marshmallows. But after they're all burned up, then we'll cook some marshmallows and we'll have some fun with the thing. And I started calling those victory bags. I said, bring in a victory bag. You know, let's get victory over this stuff. Because music gets a grip on people's lives. And some people can't even imagine what it would be like to get rid of ungodly music and listen to godly music. They think, I couldn't even survive. Listen, if you got the Holy Spirit inside, you can. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then the first thing that will happen is you'll be speaking to yourselves, not in worldly music, but in spiritual music, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart, not to a big audience for ticket sales. Singing and making melody in your heart, not to anybody else, but to the Lord. And realize He's going to hear it, and He's either going to accept it or reject it. Let's offer a pure sacrifice to Him. We'd like to thank you for listening today. If the Lord has especially touched your heart, or you've made a decision for Christ, or perhaps you just have some questions you'd like to ask, please go to our website, www.bethelbc.info, and under the main menu, click on the word contact. Again, the website is www.bethelbc.info.